BlakeRadio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzles, are y'all chilling for shit?
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Let's just go from here.
I've got no time for you to hear what you wanna hear. So
take this and shove this down your throat.
I want this to be.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and UltimateSportsTalk.com. The numbers, as always, 267-297-1397, or if you Skype, add Sir Rockin, that is two words, to your friend list, and you can join us during the program. During the 10 o'clock hour, our friends from the north, way north, Sarah and Ari Dygan should be joining us. They attended Monday Night Raw last night in Ottawa. So what better way to bring them back than a live report from there?
I didn't know they were dirty Canadians.
Hey, be nice about the Canadians. Alberto Del Rio uses them in his house, as we'll talk about later on.
How horrible was that, by the way?
That was highly entertaining. We will talk all about the No Surrender pay-per-view and the ramifications of it. And we will be getting into other indie events. However, as I noted last week, when we had Roderick Strong on.
You having problems there, Alan?
We are in the month of honor, and we thank Carrie Silken for helping us out with that. Carrie will be here with us around 9:30. Next week, we will be joined by the one and only Jay Lethal Black Machismo. We'll be back in the house, thanks to the work of our executive producer, my daughter, Abby.
Is he coming to your house?
We're working on that. It's a decision, game time decision, as they say.
Is he going to show up as Black Machismo?
That's if he walks into this house dressed like Black Machismo, my wife will probably fall down and laugh her ass off. We've got a guest already in the opening part of this show. He is going to be in one of the double main events at Death Before Dishonor 9, which is this Saturday. If you live, and I love doing this because I used to live up in the north, if you live in the tri-state area, get your butt to the Manhattan Center. It's at 311 West 34th Street. Take the train into Penn Station. Walk the block over. It's the old Hammerstein Ballroom setup. 7:30 bell time. If you can't, you need to go to GoFightLive.tv and buy this event. Our guest is actually the opponent of last week's guest. They will be taking each other on in the Ringmaster Challenge, which we will get to. He is a former ROH World Tag Team Champion. And like I said with Roderick, I hate saying this, but he's also the former ROH World Champion. Eddie Edwards makes his debut on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I'm glad to be here.
Really glad to be here?
Hey. He is.
I co-host this show, and I'm not glad to be here.
Oh, yes. Yeah. All the venues that ROH goes around in, and they've been going around in them for almost 10 years, they'll celebrate their 10th anniversary in February, March, I believe it is. The Hammerstein Ballroom in the Manhattan Center is one of the more intimate ones. For someone like you, Is that the kind of atmosphere you like? That rabid New York City crowd, or being from the Boston area, do you prefer a more sedate atmosphere when you go to the ring?
No, I mean, New York City is just, you know, the fans there are just, like you said, they're rabid, and they're, it's so close and personal that it just, it adds a whole new aspect to the, you know, to the whole experience where, you know, you hear that crowd rumbling before you even go out there, and your adrenaline just kicks in, and you're ready to go. It just helps you step it up a notch, you know?
Now, seeing, you know, old ECW events and a couple of ROH events that have taken place in the Hammerstein Ballroom, it almost looks like that the crowd is just right on top of you, the way that is built. I mean, that's got to be kind of intimidating at points.
Yeah, and Hammerstein's one of, if not, you know, my favorite building to be in, just because they are right over you. They're on top of you, and it's just, I don't know, it's just, there's something in the air, you know what I mean? You can just feel, you can feel everything that's going on, and you can feel the crowd, you know, you feel the building almost shake when the crowd's going, you know, when the crowd's going nuts, and it's just an atmosphere that, you know, can't really be matched anywhere else.
Now, I've been up to the Gray's Armory in Cleveland, and that one, the crowd gets pretty intense, and it's right on top of the ring, too. But I wanted to ask, because it's been quite a number of years since ROH has come to the Gray's Armory, why not come back to Cleveland at all?
I'm not against it. I have never been there, to that arena you're speaking of. I've never been there, and I'd be more than happy to be there.
What is a favorite venue for you? Is it Hammerstein or the ones that they've used in Boston? Do you have a particular favorite venue that you've enjoyed? Because I know you defended the championship at the Center Stage before WrestleMania in Atlanta.
Yeah, that was almost similar to a Hammerstein, where, and it wasn't quite as big, but the fans and the whole atmosphere was there as well. But I'd say Hammerstein is probably my favorite, just because, you know, they've had some great shows there and great events, and, you know, the whole crowd and everything like that. Anytime I'm in Boston, you know, I love it. So any one of those, really, I enjoy being at. But New York City, Hammerstein Ballroom, or Manhattan Center, anything there is just off the charts.
Now, for the people living in Boston and listening to this, I didn't pay him to say that as a New Yorker. I didn't pay him to say nice stuff. We don't pay Homicide to be a jerk about the Boston folks. But in that locker room, you've got him, a baseball fan. Steve Corino's a Phillies fan. I'm going to take a wild guess you're a Red Sox fan. Is there any rivalries when you get in that locker room? And is there some money being tossed around? Or just, if you lose, you're wearing my shirt to the ring?
You know, for me, I almost try not to bring it up, because I think it could get pretty heated if we really got into it. I think things get heated, and I think it's best to leave almost unsaid. You know, there's a few jabs here and there, but I try to keep it cordial, you know, the best I can. I'm actually watching the Red Sox and Blue Jays right now. They're up 10-5, in case you're wondering.
How does it feel to have the Rays breathing down your neck?
That wasn't a fun weekend for you guys down here.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the best, but, you know, they've been going through ups and downs the whole year. I mean, look at the way they started. It's been up and down the whole year. They just have to realize that they should, you know, play as hard as they can all the time and just stop being pussies and do it, you know.
Is Francona's ass on the line this year?
I don't think so. I really don't think his will ever. I mean, unless he has some really bad seasons, it's hard to look at a guy who's won two World Series and say, you know, he's got to do something good this year or else he's gone. I think it's real hard to say that.
Yeah, but I come from a franchise that Joe Torre won 4 and he got ran out of town, man. So I feel Francona right now.
Well, you know, New Yorkers, what can I say? You guys are your own breed.
It's nice to have somebody on this program that hates New York as much as I do. Oh,
yeah. I want to take fans back in time here, and I want to make sure that our Online World of Wrestling Radio wrestler profile is correct. True or false? Trained by Killer Kowalski at his school?
Yep, that's right.
How much interaction did he have in your training, or was it just, he's there, he's not, is he in the ring taking bumps with you guys at his age, or what was his involvement?
unfortunately, at the time I joined, he was there, you know, every class. He was always the first one there. You walk up the stairs and there he is sitting in his chair off to the right. And, he'd have his input throughout the class. The head trainer at the time was, Slick Wagner Brown. He was training at the time when I joined. You know, Walter would, he'd have his input. He'd watch every class. He'd get up and he'd get in the ring every once in a while. He wouldn't be bumping, but if there's something he could do and make you scream in pain, he'd be more than happy to do that.
Just envision this guy getting in there.
Oh yeah.
Does he tell stories?
He tell the same stories over and over, but yeah, they're always good, you know, about how he, you know, grabbed onto the guy's stomach, this bodybuilder's stomach, when he told him to flex because he thought that the claw wouldn't hurt him, and the guy went down to his knees and almost cried. He loves telling that one. It's one of his favorites.
UConn Eric's ear.
Of course. We all know that one. So I think everybody, when they first join, ask him about that, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of alumni from that school. You mentioned Slick Wagner Brown, WWE's Triple H, and China around there.
Yeah.
Were they ever coming around to see? Because recently, at the estate of Killer Kowalski, a lot of it was bought by Triple H. Was he ever around the school when you were there?
At the time when I was at the school, no, he didn't come by at all. Bernard went by, Matt Bloom, Albert A-Train. I don't know what you would know him as.
Oh, we know a lot of things. Giant Bernard.
Yeah, all different, exactly. But he came by a couple times, and, you know, it was great to see the amount of respect that, you know, those guys have for a guy like Walter.
You've been a part of Ring of Honor for, it seems to be, for the longest time. The OWW Radio profile has you, one of your first matches of December 2006 with current TNA star Austin Aries. Take us through the process of getting in ROH. Was it you sending tapes to them? Was it doing a tryout? How did you get involved originally?
At the time, I think, with that match with Austin Aries and stuff, I was just doing regional stuff. Like that was, I think that was in Connecticut, that one. And then I would do, you know, the Boston area shows. But I had first contacted Gabe, who was the booker at the time, and he got back to me and he gave me a chance to come in, and I got to, you know, wrestle a guy like Aries, which was, you know, it was a great privilege at that time. And so it was basically just kind of shots here and there, and then try to catch on and stick on and see what you can do. Basically like a tryout almost, you know.
Wow, now you're tossing it to me. Thanks.
Well, if you don't have anything, I got 500 questions here, but you're a part of the show.
You brought up Killer Kowalski, and I went surfing through Killer Kowalski's profile, and I was looking, and I didn't realize that he shut the school down in 03, which brings up an how does it feel to be one of the last guys to go through that school?
I mean, it's quite the honor to carry on and try to make, you know, represent his school. And, you know, you mentioned the guys that have gone through there, and to be another student of Walter's, it's something that you want to carry on and help promote and show, you know, what a great guy and great talent he was, in a great mind. So to be able to have that, you know, it's a great privilege.
You've been a part, you mentioned the Northeast. You've worked for New England Championship Wrestling. You've done a couple shots for, like, Maryland Championship Wrestling. It's way different than where I am down here in Florida, or way different than Spugs getting in the Ohio area. Take us through some of the promoters in that area that you worked for that were really great, and some that you have maybe in your book circled to never work for again.
Well, you mentioned, you know, NECW, which is run by Sheldon Goldberg, and he's, you know, he's a great guy, and he's been putting on, you know, shows for, I think, 10 years now or so, or over 10 years. And, you know, it's always been a great place to work up in that area, and he gave me, you know, an opportunity when I first started, so I'm always grateful to him. I think of maybe one that's not so popular but is very famous amongst many wrestlers would be Mike Sparta, who ran WWA up this area. And he's just real infamous for kind of being a shady character. And I can't do a good impersonation of him, but if you ever run into somebody that has worked for him, they most likely have an impersonation, and everybody knows Mike Sparta, and sometimes for the bad things, but sometimes at least for a story.
In 08, you and Davey first started this whole thing up that went on for many years, and you were managed by the late Larry Sweeney. Take us through first the pairing. Were you okay with the idea of becoming a tag team wrestler, or were you sitting there looking at the bookers and going, no? And what did you think initially when they said, okay, we're going to do the sweet and sour thing and you're going to have Larry out there with you?
I mean, I was more than happy. But, you know, at the time, like I mentioned, I was kind of just doing the local area stuff, and then I was given the chance to join the Sweet and Sour group, which was, of course, run by Larry Sweeney, which, you know, the group at the time, Davey Richards ended up joining it, you know, shortly after me, I believe, and then Adam Pearce and Chris Hero and Hagedorn and Sarah Del Rey. So to be able to join a group like that at that time, it was a real, you know, step up for me. You know, I felt like I had, you know, direction. I had some a plan for myself, what I was going to do. And then shortly after that, me and Davey started teaming, and I was more than happy to do that. I mean, at that time, Davey was a former tag champ, and, you know, we had talked a few times, me and Davey, about teaming. We thought that, you know, our styles would just mesh together and we could bring something different to tag wrestling. And I was very happy when we got our chance to do that.
All right. I have to ask this.
Uh-oh.
Because now I'm looking through as I'm trying to set my fantasy lineup.
Oh, God. Seriously.
I am.
We already have a baseball analyst. We have two.
No,
we have Steve Corino and Joey Ryan. Oh, you need him for football?
I got to know. Is Brady going to hold up?
Oh, man.
Is he going to hold it? He is going to hold up. No doubt.
Unless Bridget Moynihan's on the other side of the line coming to get him.
No doubt.
I got to know if Brady's going to hold up because I sat him for week one and started Aaron.
Why Ryan. Would you have done that?
Yeah, he only threw for what, 1,000 yards last night?
Yeah, only 517 yards, guys. Come on, four touchdowns. Yeah, a walk in the park.
Because here's the thing. Going into Thursday, my QBs were Colt McCoy and Aaron Rodgers.
That's Aaron Rodgers, obviously.
Right. But a guy in my league who didn't show up for the draft and his entire team got auto-drafted, let go of his entire team. So Brady went to the free agents.
Wow.
I saw that Thursday morning at 5:30 in the morning and plucked him off the free agent waiver wire. And so I have Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady as my starting QBs, or the option for my starting QBs. I only start one in my fantasy league. And so if Brady's going to keep it up, I'm going to start him over Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, he's going to keep it up. I mean, he might not be dropping 500 yards every week, but come on.
499. He'll do 499 against everybody but the Jets, yeah, and then it'll be like, hey, what happened?
Yeah.
Have you been to Gillette for a football game?
You know what? I am ashamed to say that I haven't. I'm ashamed.
Wow.
Yeah. I know.
It just
thanks for bringing that up. It's really.
But it just looks like, well, on TV, it just looks like a lot of the Boston and, no, like Fenway is, I've been to Fenway once in my life, very intimate setting. Gillette seems like a real intimate setting. Oh, it's just an amazing thing. And I'm not a Boston hater, which is amazing. You'll find from a lot of New Yorkers. I don't hate Boston. I have an appreciation for the history that is up there with the hockey team and basketball and everything. Was there ever a point in your mind before wrestling that you had some other avenue that Eddie Edwards was going to go down? And what was it? And do you regret it at all?
You know, I joined, you know, Killer Kowalski's when I was in high school. So, I didn't really have a backup plan, you know, like at that point it was just, wrestling. I want to, you know, I got to try this and run with it. You know, I've always been a sports fan, of course, but, you know, I never thought about trying to do anything, you know, sports-wise for my career because, you know, how difficult that can be. I don't know, you know, one thing I had thought about, you know, a few times is a few people in my family are in law enforcement. I have a state trooper, my uncle, and, you know, a cousin's a local police detective. So that might be something that I would have looked into if wrestling hadn't held up.
I have to ask, since he asked about you going to Gillette, how many days after the 07 Super Bowl did you cry?
Why would you bring that up right now? Well, I was having a good time. I was having a good time.
Taking shots at him. I'm the New Yorker, and I'm not going there.
You know, I basically, I don't remember any of 07. So, like, the season and, you know, there's just bits and pieces, but I pretty much blacked out at a certain moment. So we just won't talk about that.
It's like me in 3 days in October 2004. Right? four of them. I don't remember them at all. And
exactly.
It was
you
nice.
Remember, you just remember something bad happened. That's all.
Here's the thing. I, as the Cleveland fan, have a litany of events that have happened that the nation constantly beats the dead horse that is Cleveland sports over. All right? I don't get very many opportunities to make fun of other fan bases.
Well, you might as well. I guess being from there, you gotta take your shots when you can.
No, I mean, that was probably one of the greatest Super Bowls I've ever watched.
Why are we still talking about this?
Let the man peace. Bleeding here.
No,
the thing
that amazed me about that game, and it wasn't what was on the line. The thing that amazed me about that game was even at the end, even at the very end, when the outcome wasn't even in question. Tom Brady's lining up and he's bombing it down the field because he's like, I'm gonna hit one of these sons of bitches and we're gonna win. And I was in awe of that.
He's a true competitor, and now my night has been ruined.
Thank you very much.
Oh no, because guess what? Boston's gonna win a wild card. Boston's gonna win a World Series.
Let's hope.
I've been playing MLB The Show again. Stop doing that. he is here, fans, to talk about two amazing events that are going on in ROH. One is going to be not this Saturday, but next Saturday, the 24th. ROH TV is going to debut on the Sinclair Media Network channel, so you can go to ROHWrestling.com and check that out. When they left HDNet, the locker room atmosphere, was it weird to go, oh, crap, we just lost our TV? Or we'll ask Kerry this question, too. Did Kerry or anyone come to you guys, Jim Cornette or anyone, come to you and say, okay, look, this is a good thing for us because now we can go elsewhere? And what kind of interaction have you as a member of the roster had with the new ownership?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was pretty much everybody's attitude. You know, we felt that they weren't necessarily utilizing us for what we were and that we could have offered more and they could have helped our product out. We could have helped their product out. You know, in the long run, it just didn't work out, which is, you know, it happens in business. But, you know, when it ended, we all felt like, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's going to open up another door for us and we're going to have a chance to show what we can do elsewhere. And, you know, look where we are now. Like you said, you know, in a couple of weeks, we have our brand new TV show in way more markets than we were in. And, you know, it's an exciting time for Ring of Honor. The new ownership at Sinclair has been, they've been great. Joe Koff, who's been at all the live events, he's, you know, real personable. You can walk up to him and talk about anything, you know, anything you want. And they've just been really hands-on, and it's a good thing to see.
You're one of the few folks in ROH that's been a multi-time champion. You and Davey have held the tag titles. You've held the world title, which we'll talk about in a couple minutes here. But you've also been, you were the inaugural television champion. When they presented that idea to you, did you kind of look going, okay, well, we had the Pure Belt and didn't want to go, it went, but it didn't. Do we need a TV title? Or were you just like, I'll take the belt. Thank you very much.
I mean, I was more, surprised or more honored for the fact that I would be considered to, you know, be the first ever TV champ. You know, at the time, you know, we didn't know the future of what was going to happen on each internet, you know, in hindsight, of course. But, you know, we had a new TV show. Why not have a belt that can be represented on a television show and be defended, you know, every couple of weeks or every week or whatever, you know, you may have. And I thought it was a great idea. I think, you know, a lot of people thought it was a good idea because, you know, you can't be giving away world title matches every week on TV. So to have another belt, another championship that you can make equally as important, be defended every week, I thought it was a good idea.
I want to bring up the Best in the World match because as I talked to you earlier today about it, I remember sitting there and people were telling me when I got the feed from someone and like, whatever you do, don't miss the main event of this thing. And I'm going, oh, okay, these guys are tag partners. They're not going to kill each other. To break the fourth wall down for a minute here and put kayfabe in the closet, when you and Davey are sitting there and going, all right, so we're main event, we're going to have to follow a four-way elimination tag match and all this stuff, did you guys sit there and just go, let's steal the damn house and send everybody home happy, or did you just say, we'll feel this out?
I think, you know, we both know each other, obviously. You know, we know each other, what type of people we are, what type of competitors we are. So, it was pretty much an unsaid thing. You know, we both knew when our heads were going to go out there and we're going to kick crap out of each other. This is a Ring of Honor world title match. Best in the world, you know, probably the biggest show that we've ever had. We knew that we're going to go out there and just leave it all in the ring. And that I had no doubt that Davey would do that. And I'm sure you had no doubt that I would do that.
You unfortunately sit here a former champion. You won the championship from Roderick Strong March 19th, lost the championship on June 26th without Roderick being involved. When this match that's going to take place Saturday was put to you and Roderick, we heard Roderick's answer on last week. This is a 2 out of 3 falls thing. First fall is pinfall only. Second fall is submission. And if neither one of you gets the 2 first falls, we go to a 15-minute Ironman situation. How do you plan for something like this in your head? Do you even have in your mind, shoot, I'm going to have to go 15 minutes no matter what I do if I can't get him in the first 2 falls? Or do you just concentrate on pinfall and I need a submission and then I get to go to the bar?
Yeah, I mean, I think you take it one step at a time. It's hard to look at, you know, the total picture and say, well, what if I do? If I do this, I'm going to end up here. If I don't do this, this might not. Yeah, you know, I think it's better to look at the first fall and the second fall. And then after that, you're basically going to, you know, what's going to happen. You know, what's at stake. So you got to do everything you can in the first 2 falls. And the third fall comes up, it's going to be basically who wants it more. You know what I mean? Who can withstand the other one? Who can take the pain? Who can, you know, withstand everything the other guy's throwing at him in the third fall? But you got to break it down piece by piece. I think that's the best way to go about it.
Talk, Alan. Jeez.
All right. Spug has a normal question.
The Red Sox are up 11-5, in case you're wondering.
I mean, yay. I'm playing Seattle tonight, so it doesn't matter. You're in the rearview mirror for a couple games. We've had some interesting story time with Spug. This is Spug's favorite part of any interview that we ever do with anyone that's on here. Yes, it is, because you get to sit there and go, that's hysterical, that's gross, that's funny. We've had Steve Corino talk about taking C.W. Anderson to a bar in Roppongi and being introduced to a dominatrix that looked a lot like Samoa Joe. We've had Brian, we've had Road Dogg, Jesse James give a story of human waste and spray bottles last week. Roderick Strong upped the ante with pee and socks. anything come to your mind of the best rib you've ever seen pulled or been had pulled on you guys at any point? I mean, I can't see anybody ribbing Davey at all. You maybe, but any shenanigans that you can spill here that for the true ROH story, so to speak?
Well, knock on wood, I have so far escaped any major ribbing, which is always a good thing. I don't anything from Ring of Honor. Guess is, you know, a good thing. But I do recall, you know, one of the independent shows, you know, in the gymnasium there's a stage with the entranceway where you walk out and down the stairs or whatever off to the side. And me and my buddy Brian Fury, who's a New England worker, we were watching the match that's going on behind this other kid who's standing watching through the curtain, which happens to be up on the stage. And we thought it'd be a good idea to, you know, the good old classic rib is, you know, you push the guy through the curtain, you know, as the match is going on, he freaks out and comes right back. We weren't thinking that we were on top of a stage. So we push this poor guy. He takes a bump off of the stage onto the floor mid-match. Everybody turns and looks at him, and he has to slowly crawl his way back through the curtain and into the back.
Oh my God.
Yeah, needless to say, he wasn't very happy, but it was hilarious regardless.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good one. As mentioned, go ahead.
The one that is my personal favorite, he was a friend of Kevin, I think his name was. It escapes me at the moment. It really does. But he was talking about it was him and Danielson.
Kenny King did that one.
Kenny King. they fake stab Danielson.
Oh my God. How did I forget that? Oh my God. Yes. That was amazing. That was amazing.
You were witness to that. Oh my God.
Yes. I can't believe I forgot that. I watched the whole thing go down and it was unbelievable. Danielson deserved an Oscar for that one, or an Emmy, or whatever it is that they get. It was amazing.
He may get a Slammy at WrestleMania, you never know.
That was classic.
The event is Death Before Dishonor 9. Our guest is part of the double main event of that show. You can follow him on Twitter at TheEddieEdwards. Make sure you put it all together. Stay with us. Coming up after the break, the man behind Ring of Honor's merger with Sinclair joins us to talk about this big event. Kerry Silken will be here. Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry. Panic
Missed Out. Christy
Hemme. Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Attention Wild Talk Radio Network fans. Are you looking for a show that is wholesome? A show that is family-oriented and kids-friendly? And a show that is filled with politically correct humor? Then tune in to the WTR Network every Saturday night at midnight Eastern for all things G-rated.
Hold on. Fuck that politically correct bullshit. Tune in Saturday nights for No Limits Extreme Conversation, covering everything from, well, just about anything you can possibly imagine. If you can think it, it will be talked about and more live Saturday nights on Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live midnight Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein. The inventor of the light bulb. The creator of the internet. A professional grass waterer. And, of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
and you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
Tired of the same old view of Monday night wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night, just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw, only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the Warrior come at you to do it. Now the Warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
All right, this is the king of old school, Mr. Wrestling 3, a true legend in professional wrestling, Steve Corino. And if all those nicknames didn't really matter to you, it doesn't matter to many other people, because you're listening to the online world of wrestling radio with Alan Wojcicki.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and Ultimate Sports Talk. Thanks to Eddie Edwards of the American Wolves. Even though they beat the crap out of each other at Best in the World, they are still a tag team, I believe. This was passed along by some friends in the Northeast. Pennsylvania State Athletic Commissioner and Philadelphia Area Commissioner Representative for Wrestling, Mr. Frank Talent, Larry Dallas, voted this along. Passed away Friday at the age of 74. He had been battling brain cancer. He was an eccentric character who worked with promoters rather than against them and was a fixture at major and independent shows dating back to the 80s. I believe he did some WWF announcing when they would be at the Spectrum back in the day. So our condolences to his family and friends as well. As mentioned, this Saturday, if you are not busy and you want to enjoy some quality professional wrestling, you need to go to GoFightLive.tv at 7:30 p.m. for ROH Death Before Dishonor 9. This event keeps getting better and better week in, week out. Next week we will talk with the man who is going to be a part of a tag team grudge match. Jay Lethal will be with us. He's teaming with Homicide to take on Rhino and Tommaso Ciampi of the Embassy, which only means one thing, that Prince Nana can't be too far behind. In a three-way elimination match, the Young Bucks, who hopefully will shake hands, will take on Future Shock and the Bravados. In a new match was added, one-on-one, it will be Jimmy Jacobs taking on El Generico. There's two challenge matches, as ROH World Tag Team Champions Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas are going to be in singles matches. Benjamin will take on the Prodigy Mike Bennett with Brutal Bob, and Haas will take on Michael Elgin, who will have Truth Martini in his corner. Truth Martini's evening does not end there. He is the manager to the Messiah of the Backbreaker, Roderick Strong, and we already prefaced this match with Eddie Edwards. The other co-main event is Ladder War 3, a contract to take on Haas and Benjamin at Glory by Honor 10 will hang above the ring as Rhett Titus and Kenny King, the All Night Express, are going to take on Mark and Jay, the Briscoe Brothers. If you do live in New York, go to ROHWrestling.com. You can call 212-279-7740. Or you can also call 215-781-2500. If you go, there will be a special meet and greet with Eddie Edwards and Jay Lethal. You can sign, tell them you know us. Tell them, hey, we listen to you on the show. Love you guys. Mace is joining us here. He survived his birthday, and we thank him for being here with us. Was it all as hyped to be?
It was a good enough day. I ran into people, I had lunch with girls, and then I went and did geeky things like buy comic books and Magic the Gathering cards.
Okay, so the Australian government didn't have to be called in to break anything up?
No, but there was a hostage situation like a couple of streets up from my house that I didn't realize
what
happened. I come home, it's like, oh, did you see the police up the street? No. Why? What happened? There's a hostage situation up there. Awesome. I'm going to stay in my room now.
Don't want to be near the gunfire at all.
Luckily, it was only knives.
Oh, either way, still, that's some crazy stuff. Want to let everybody know the upcoming schedule we've got. Mentioned Jay Lethal is here next Tuesday night. We're in talks to have Jessica Havoc. We're really trying for a third time here. I'm having the worst luck in the world with it. On the 26th, we will be talking about Northeast Wrestling's event, which takes place on October 1st. It's a super show that's got a main event with, one more time, we're going to get Terry Funk taking on Jerry Lawler, but our guest isn't either one of them. He's actually the man who's going to take on the Iterative of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, on that event. The NEW Heavyweight Champion, Matt Taven, will be with us, making his debut on the show. And we're going to end up having, also that night, WSU's Tag Team Champion. She also just went 73-plus minutes with WSU Heavyweight Champion, Women's Champion, Mercedes Martinez. If we didn't have enough fun with Eddie Edwards in Boston, Lexus of the Boston Shore will be here with us. On that event, she is going to take on TNA Knockout and former WWE superstar Mickey James. So keep up with us on Twitter at My Name is Wojcik. You can go to OWW Radio through the website and get that kind of stuff going here. No, it didn't. I did not try to get her. On October 4th, your friend of mine from the co-author of the WWE Encyclopedia, Mr. Brian Shields, will be making his return to our program. He has some new endeavors in the video gaming world that he will talk to us about. And he's a personal favorite of ours because it's not every day you get a guy who wrote a book the size of a small country that talks about every single thing that there is to know about wrestling. I brought up Tommy Dreamer, and you just brought him up during the commercial break. some other news and notes around. We'll talk a little TNA here as we maneuver around. If the name Genihiro Tenryu means anything to you, that means you are a super huge wrestling fan. You will know that this November is going to be a 35th anniversary event for this gentleman's career. Tenryu is one of the biggest names ever in professional wrestling. He's taken on anyone and everyone in the business. Well, his for his group in Japan, and I'm not sure if this is with All Japan. I think that's who Tenryu's involved with these days. They were trying to contact Nature Boy Ric Flair to be his opponent at this event. Now, apparently, Nate expressed interest, but TNA will not allow any kind of wrestling appearances unless they're involved. So the Wrestling Observer is reporting that Tenryu's people contacted TNA, agreed to what they saw as a quote-unquote easy booking fee, but then felt TNA was being uncooperative and moved on.
Excuse me, Alan?
Yes?
I have to break in.
Oh, God.
I have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
We may have a WTR exclusive in a few minutes.
Okay.
I just got off the phone with Shasta, Kevin, main promoter, owner of MCW.
Mm-hmm.
MCW September to Remember is this Saturday.
Oh.
With the return of Brain Damage and the one and only innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer.
Cool.
The reason why I mentioned that name is that Kevin, I asked Kevin if he wanted to come on and pimp the event, and he said, yeah, I'll come on. He's like, by the way, you guys want to talk to Tommy Dreamer about it?
Nah.
And I was
of course
like,
we do. Hell yeah.
I was like, what? He's like, let me call Dreamer real quick. If he can do it, I'll have him call in. Okay.
Far out. Welcome to live radio, kids.
So, we may or may not have Tommy Dreamer on OWW.
Just welcome.
Saying.
We're not another jerk off podcast, kids. I just want to get Mace's reaction to this because being you're in Australia, you probably do get a lot more international wrestling in your neighborhood than we do. When you hear something like this of Flair and Tenryu and TNA basically dropping a ball here, does this give you cornet face as usual with TNA, or are you just sitting there going, I don't even know if I want to see Flair in a ring alone flying across the ocean?
I wouldn't really want to see Ric Flair in the ring. I think his time is dead and done. As you said, being an international, I sort of have a different outlook on all this. This has happened many times over here where a guy has been promoted to come over and then can't because the company has decided to pull him out or he signed on with somebody. So you sort of get used to these things happening. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me that TNA is wanting to control the talent in such a way, then, you know, it happens.
All
yeah,
right.
Gary.
Hey, there he is. Kerry Silken of Ring of Honor is here with us. Apologize for the delay on that one. No, you're cool. We just had Eddie Edwards on this program, and he went through with us his match that's going to be taking place at this event. As someone that's involved with the promotion and has seen the growth of him and Roderick over the years, Is this a number one contender thing, maybe? That whoever comes out of this one gets a shot, the next shot at Davey down the road?
I definitely think that, it's not officially billed that way, but, there's no doubt, whoever takes this match is certainly in line for a title shot. You know, both these guys have, a strong history with Davey and, Eddie, of course, is a partner and his opponent, and Roddy's had some vicious battles with him. But, there's no doubt about it. The whole card up and down, I did another interview earlier, and even though I know the card, doing the interview and going over each match, and here we have a show that has no Ring of Honor title matches on it, but yet it's a stacked show. And every match... I don't want to say every match the main event, but it could be. They could be main events. And anyone who is at this show or watches this on GoFightLive.tv on Saturday night, if you're familiar with the product, you're going to love it. And if you're not familiar with the product, you will become a fan.
We saw the press conference. We had talked to you before the Sinclair Media event, before your last pay-per-view event, which was Best in the World, which you can order the replay through ROHWrestling.com. How do you feel overall this relationship has been felt by the, taken by the fans and the media? Do you think it's got a still a positive buzz and they're excited for the 24th and the TV debut?
Yeah, you know, they, I think the natural, and, you know, people are always scared of change, no matter what it is. And people were worried about, you know, the integrity of the product and what they'd been used to seeing in the ring. I think primarily that was the fear. And although we haven't had that many shows since Sinclair has been involved, you know, this is like our fifth show. That's not the case. You know, this is pure Ring of Honor, as it always was. And I probably said this on the last interview, but, you know, the what's going on behind the scenes as far as Delirious and Jim Cornette running the back has remained the same, and there's been no interference. As far as the TV show, it's going to enhance, you know, it's going to enhance the product. I mean, these guys put a lot of work into this, and, you know, not just at the TV in Chicago, but the post-production, and there's been a lot of care put into it. And, you know, if anyone is not in the Sinclair broadcast area, which is, you know, they're on a quarter of the country, on Thursdays, so the Thursday following the Saturday, the TV show will be available for free online. So everybody can get to, everybody will get to see the TV show.
And don't forget, you can go to ROHWrestling.com and find the list of, if you're in the area. I know I am in Tampa. Roderick Strong and I, we're happy to see that listed. On this show, we've been calling it a double main event with Eddie and Roderick, and now you've got Ladder War 3 with the Briscoes taking on the All Night Express. Is this, in the old tradition, a blow-off with these two teams? Because I'm loving what I see when these two teams hook it up. I don't want this to end here, but it almost feels like it will end on Saturday.
Yeah, it's just another, you know, it's just another chapter in the book. You know, it looks like it's a blow-off kind of match, but we'll see. You know, the tag team competition, and I know you follow it, it's been so fierce, you know, between these two tag teams. You know, Haas and Benjamin, you've got, you know, the Wolves still mixed in it sometimes. You know, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, Future Shock. Now the Bucks are back, and the Bravado's up and coming. And so the tag team division is, you know, regardless of what happens in this match, the team that doesn't come out on top, I don't think it's anything that's career, you know, going to hurt their career in Ring of Honor.
I have a question for Terry, if I may.
Hey, Spug. Go ahead, Spug.
I was asking Eddie Edwards about this, and he had never been there, so he doesn't know. I'm from the Cleveland area, and I can remember going to Gray's Armory once or twice a year to see ROH, and it's been quite a while since Ring of Honor has returned to Cleveland. Are you guys going to be coming back anytime soon?
It's most likely, to give you an honest answer, if it's not a TV market at this point, in other words, the non-TV markets that we will continue to go to will be New York. I believe we're returning to Philly soon. We're going to be returning to Toronto in a few months, as well as Chicago. Cleveland, although I like Cleveland, and I thought the Gray's Armory was cool, at this time it's probably not in the plans. So I apologize. But although it's certainly not official, you know, Ring of Honor, Sinclair is going to have TV in Columbus, Dayton, where we continue to go to, and Cincinnati also. So there'll be most likely, you know, when next year rolls out, there'll be a lot of action in Ohio. A
couple weeks ago, fans tuned in to National Geographic Channel and saw a very interesting documentary called Slam that involved ROH. How were you approached by that, and what made you guys say yes to being a part of that doc?
You know, any publicity is good publicity, and the guys from that geo, I feel handled everything respectfully, and it was good to work with them, and they approached us, and you know, it was one of those things where we weren't sure if it was going to see the light of day or not, but it did, and I think they did a good job, and it was a good representation of the Ring of Honor seminars and all that, and I'm glad we were involved.
I have to ask, because of where he currently works now, what made Shimizion not stay with ROH and go to TNA? Was that a decision on his part or ROH's part?
Although he had been on some pre-show matches, and that show was done in tryout was in March, I believe. There was no, you know, we didn't book him to come back. Not because we didn't like him, it just maybe it would have happened, but he did get the offer from TNA, so he took it, and that's what he decided to do. So we may have approached him in the future, but it just didn't happen.
Terry Silken is our guest here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, Death Before Dishonor 9 is this Saturday at the Manhattan Center in the Grand Ballroom. As we said, we had you on before Best in the World. Happy with that event, the way things went down? Anything you would change at all?
No. Yeah, it's funny. These events sort of roll together, and there's been very few Ring of Honor events. I know this is going to sound like a bunch of baloney, but it's been very few Ring of Honor events where, you know, I left the building, the staff left the building feeling that we didn't really give it our all. And that event was, you know, I thought it went really well. And, you know, there's a drive with everyone involved in Ring of Honor to make every show special. And there's a lot of care put into it. And I rarely get that feeling, and I certainly didn't get it at that show.
The next TV tape, I believe, is October 1st. Is that correct, or did I read that wrong on the website?
No, that is correct. We'll be in Louisville at the Davis Arena. If you're in the area, in Louisville area, there's a few tickets left. But, that's our next TV taping on October 1st.
The show's gonna be, the TV show's an hour long, so on a whole, if you could guesstimate, how many matches a week is a fan gonna see? 3, 4 tops?
I don't even think they're gonna see that much. Only because the matches have some substance to them. At least in the first set of tapings, most of the matches were 15, 20 minute matches. I think the most you'll see is 3 on a show. And they're all good matches. There's been very little, you know, at least based on the first round of tapings. This is like a main event card, and there's been very little fillers. And I believe that's the way this is going to be carried out, as we roll the TV out, you know, in the future.
Your next time on iPay-Per-View after this Saturday is Glory by Honor 10, which is going to come from Chicago Ridge. When do tickets go on sale for that event, or are they already on sale?
Tickets are on sale for that. They went on sale the last time we were in Chicago.
All right. For fans that are planning their WrestleMania weekend already, You're going to be involved down there again following around the WrestleMania weekend. You're going to be in Fort Lauderdale March 30th at the Lauderdale War Memorial. Is the overall reception going well with this kind of thing? That if the fans come to a WrestleMania weekend, they know they're going to at least see Ring of Honor there. Is this like a tradition you're fine with, or is this something that may go away?
No, not at all. That's one of the most fun weekends of the year. At least it is for me, and I think everybody else. You know, you get to see a lot of fans. People travel. It's incredible. People travel from all over the world. I'd like to say they're traveling to see Ring of Honor, but, you know, they're going to WrestleMania. And as a bonus, there's other events in town. And we've been one of them, you know, since 04. The first time we did it was WrestleMania 20, which was at the Garden, and we were in Elizabeth. And I can't remember the exact order of the cities. I believe the next year was Chicago. And, but yeah, we enjoy going. Where the hell were we last year? Was it Houston? No, it was, where was it?
Arizona, maybe?
Yes. That was 2 years ago. Where was it last year?
Atlanta.
Last year was Georgia.
That's right, the center stage. See how fast I forget. Wasn't even that long ago. But yeah, we love going. It's amazing. And you see the same fans that, you know, a lot of the same fans that come from overseas, from different parts of the country, and they make Ring of Honor part of the their weekend, and they're always good shows. We're going to be in Fort Lauderdale this year at the War Memorial. As you mentioned, tickets are on sale already, and they went on sale this week. There's still some good seats, you know, available, and we look forward to that as usual.
All right, the event is ROH Death Before Dishonor 9. It is this Saturday. Go to GoFightLive.tv to get all the information, and you can follow Carrie on Twitter at ROH Carrie, C-A-R-Y. Thanks for coming on with us. Really appreciate it.
Hey, guys, thank you, and I hope I see you this if I don't see you beforehand, I hope I see you in Florida this year.
Well, we'll see what we can do. Coming up
right
after the break. Coming up after the break, our friends from the North who attended Monday Night Raw last night, Sarah and Ari Diagonal, will join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all. What is it good for?
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane.
At least they're not.
We'll be right back.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit?
You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Let's do this show.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why doesn't Rob Parks do it?
We waited forever to for Rob to come back, and now you're not even gonna let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William the Answer McConnell. And for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait, what?
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insult myself real bad. Wow. Alright, everyone who was listening to that, forget about it. Forget. Wow. God damn it, jobber.
What I do?
Alright. I'm Rob, your godfather of tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
World War Animal. If you want the best and the most informative wrestling news, you listen for the Wojak, the Spud, and the Mangiazzi. This is World War Animal, and I listen. Oh, what a rush!
What? Fire!
Welcome back to the second hour of Online World of Wrestling Radio, a part of the Wild Talk Radio Network and UltimateSportsTalk.com. We may have a third group streaming us next week. We're working on that. That would be the music of the one and only King of Old School, Steve Corino, bringing us out back. Love when he plays that at indie shows. He comes out. And some of the shows I've been to when he was working for 01, he'd come out in this half mask looking thing. I'm just going like, okay, Steve, you really need to stay out of certain areas of Japan because you're looking weird, but hey, that's the way the King of Old School rolls. Before we get into all the WWE stuff with Sarah and Ari Daigan, want to mention, WWE Hall of Famer Roddy Piper, underwent surgery, on Twitter. He said it would be to repair a broken neck. He claimed that the injury happened when he was doing a Fantasy Factory and Access during WrestleMania weekend in Atlanta. He then joked that he beat The Miz and Funk with a broken neck without knowing. He says, quote, "I hurt it all the time. I just go through the neck injury. I just thought the neck injury would go away." So we wish him nothing but the best. He was having surgery at Ronald Reagan's UCA Medical. They are from the north, as Spug likes to call them, dirty Canadians. They're not dirty. They're
dirty
clean.
Dirty Canadians! Dirty!
One of them is under the weather, so we appreciate her being here. Sarah and Ari Diagon in this very ring are joining us. How much fun did we have at Raw last night, kids?
Any night that we get to go out for a couple of hours and, you know, have somebody we trust taking care of the kids and just enjoy ourselves, it was fun. It was good.
I think, and get to, you know, just yell randomly along with, you know, 10,000 of our closest friends and strangers.
Yeah, when you guys see something like that crowd, and that crowd was hot last night, but when you see, what was it in Toledo, 1,700 people come out for a SmackDown taping, does that bring any fire alarm bells in your mind as fans going, okay, we packed Ottawa, they could barely get that in Toledo. Is it just bad timing for that part of the country with all the bad weather that's gone on up there?
I said to say, I mean, I think it's about timing, location. I mean,
is that the difference between Raw and SmackDown? Yeah.
I don't know. Well, we'll ask Spug in a minute, being that he is from Ohio. I'm not saying he knows Toledo that well, but in your mind, guesstimate the crowd last night, 10, 15, anywhere around that number?
It's somewhere in that neighborhood, right? I mean, what were you?
I think the newspaper day, which the wrestling event actually got local newspaper coverage. I think they said it was something like 8,900 or so, so. Yeah, almost 9,000.
Basically, I mean, it's a hockey arena. The, you know, upper deck was closed, and of course, you know, about a third of the, you know, stadium is, you know, sectioned off because, you know, that's what's behind the screen. So, yeah, that you know, sounds, I believe that sounds about right. I would have guessed 10,000, so.
Yeah. Audience, how much of it was canned or anything when Del Rio cracked the Canadians cleaning my house line? Was anybody in your area going, did he really just say that, or did everybody have a good laugh like we all did?
I mean, it didn't seem canned to me. There was a pretty good reaction to that. It was definitely a hot crowd. If they were piping in last year's whatever, I wasn't picking up on that.
Me neither. I wasn't paying attention to anyone else. I was, you know, busy laughing at that line myself. Mm-hmm.
Bigger pop of the night, Cena or Bret Hart?
Bret Hart.
Easily.
Definitely. The surprise factor was there especially. I mean, actually Sarah was saying before the show, you know, you think it's, you know, too rinky-dink, or well, do they have something up their sleeve?
Well, I was getting kind of ticked off that, like, Toronto was getting Edge tonight, and, like, we hadn't had anything advertised for Raw yet, and it was like, this is either going to be a really poor show, or they've got something really good up their sleeve. So, no disappointments.
Yeah, we hear that guitar hit and just, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, we found out our friend Omega, that's part of Russ Talk Radio, will be very happy. His wife, Trish Stratus, she just doesn't know it yet, was going to be apparently a part of Edge Appreciation Night. So he'll enjoy that one. We'll run the lineup real fast from last night. Alex Riley, John Morrison defeat Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, thanks to Ziggler deciding, yeah, I'm not going to save your ass. The Miz defeats one half of Air Boom, defeated Kofi Kingston. The Jerry Lawler campaign to rid WWE of David Otunga and Joe Henning. Yes, I'm going to keep calling them that until WWE actually does it. Instead of Zack Ryder, he brings out the Celtic Warrior Sheamus to be his tag team partner. Earlier in the evening, as we talked with Sarah and Ari just a moment ago, the world WWE champion, I want to call him world champion no matter what I do, he's a WWE champion, Alberto Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez, which most people may not be aware of, that Ricardo is trained. He was here in FCW in Tampa, and that's how he got the announcing gig. Was he was goofing around one day at FCW, and hey, now you're Ricardo Rodriguez with Alberto Del Rio. They shockingly lost to John Cena and Bret the Hitman Hart. Kelly took on a very reluctant Vicky Guerrero. In a match that I enjoyed on Friday Night SmackDown, and thanks to WWE for putting it back on again. Cody Rhodes took on world champion Randy Orton and actually defeated him. Now, of course, a little bit of a mask shot to the head was involved there. I don't know. And amazingly, that put an end to the wrestling. We were then greeted with the final confrontation of CM Punk and Triple H. Well, let me go to Spug on this one. Your husband's been doing some real good mic work here, but last night seemed to be... Yeah, especially with this thing going with Punk, but last night we had some great gems. We had some below-the-belt shots. We had real names being used. And as CM Punk said, where's our ice cream bars, damn it? is this gonna be as good as we think it's gonna be Sunday, Spug, or are we just hoping that Triple H is physically and mentally ready to go with Punk?
Oh, it'll be good. It'll be good, because for once, Triple H won't have to carry anybody in the ring. I bet you at points CM Punk carrying him.
Before we go to anybody else on the panel, Jerusalem wants to know, did you guys visit the merchandise stand, and was the CM Punk shirt available for sale?
We actually didn't hit the merchandise stands. We just got back from a vacation and just started working again in my case. So the funds were a little bit tight.
Now, you don't get your answer, Jersey. Sorry. You're gonna have to go to WWE.com and get that one.
I'm going to Raw next Monday. I will be at Raw in Cleveland next Monday. I'm going early to get one of those shirts. I'm not even lying, dude. I'm going early to get one of those.
I hate your face.
He's going to be lined up at the door going, give me a shirt, damn it.
No. You don't understand. I got to work. I intend to be out of work before 3 o'clock. No ifs, ands, or buts. I am done.
Mace, you brought up, you felt Raw was boring as that crap, except for the Triple H Punk interaction. Just the match booking didn't go well for you? What didn't you like?
I don't know, the show just didn't feel like it. Like, we're 1 week from a pay-per-view and it really didn't feel like it. Besides, like, the whole Triple H and Punk thing has been brilliant and they continue to carry that really well. I think the only match that I actually gave a crap about was the tag team match between Miz and Truth against Air Boom. But even then, I'm sitting there going, these guys are going to wrestle again in a title match on Sunday. But then I realized, yes, it is a singles match between Miz and... was it Kofi?
Yeah.
I can't remember who he was even up against. Bloody hell.
Yeah, it was a singles
Bourbon.
Match. It was
it's
Miz
not
and
good
Kofi.
For the brain. The flow of the show just didn't feel good to me, and I'm sort of sitting at this point going, if two things happen, I will be done with wrestling completely. That Uh-oh. Being, if Triple H dominates the living crap out of Punk on Sunday, and if Cena wins after being beaten down like a dog. If those two things happen, I'm done. You'll hear me on Sunday. I will go apeshit insane and then leave. That'll be the last time I'll be on the show. But if half and half happens, then I'll just be grumpy and not stick with it.
Now, what was the live reaction to that? Because there were some cheap shots sent back and forth here. Punk brought up the bodybuilding type WWE champions, namely the guy across the ring from him and Batista and Hulk Hogan, and then was brought up with, you know, but the Shawn Michaels, Rey Mysterio, and Bret Hart don't exactly hit the bodybuilding thing there, and Triple H is like, you know, it's more about getting over with the fans, not getting over with the locker room. Live audience reaction to this, was it more for Punk or more for Triple H?
I think they pretty much, got behind whoever had spoken last.
I was going to say, I mean, they were definitely leaning more towards Punk. Like clearly he's who they're sort of pushing through that. But I mean, if Triple H made a good point, he got a cheer as well. It was, I mean, the live crowd was pretty hot for that, promo.
This just in from Jersey Girl passed this along to me, and this we brought this up last week, so we'll if you don't want to know what's coming this Friday night on SmackDown, cover your ears. 5, 4, 3, 2. Okay, cool. So we brought up the Sin Cara quote unquote heel turn. Now stay with us because as we said, there's Mystico, the original Sin Cara, went on the naughty naughty list for possible Mexican drinking water issues, and he went bye-bye. So they brought Hunico up from FCW as a part of a tag team called Los Aviadores, which is a very good tag team. Wish they would have been both brought up, but hey. So apparently at the SmackDown taping tonight in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Sin Cara lost to Daniel Bryan by DQ when Daniel Bryan would not... when he wouldn't stop beating Daniel Bryan down. So after the match, Sin Cara made his return and confronted Sin Cara in the ring. I know Spug's feeling on this. We'll get Mace's in a second, but Cesaro and Ari...
Wait, I have feelings on this?
You brought it up last. We talked about it last week.
I'm trying to remember what I said. Refresh me.
I don't remember what you said. I'm not you. Well, people listen to the show. They can go to the archive and pull it up and go, oh, that's what he said. But you can retort in a second. Okay. You can retort in a second to Sarah and Ari first. Too soon to have this thing, or is this just creative sitting there with the tequila going, so wouldn't it be great if we had the two masked guys go at it? Wouldn't this be hilarious?
I mean, I think it is a little bit too soon. I wouldn't go too long. I don't think Sin Cara is a hot enough character as much as they've tried to, like, really prolong a whole lot of interest in him. I think this is a way of creating the interest they were trying to create. I think they could have pulled a week or two out of it anyway. Like, I'd have waited till at least the pay-per-view.
Maybe. I mean, I'm off the top of my head, I was inclined to say, you know, what the heck, he doesn't have so much, you know, he... Either Sin Cara doesn't have so much else going on.
I pass it to Mace since he was not here last week. This just feels really weird. I'm sure this has been done in Mexico, and I'm sure this is done in other promotions, but as I said, is this just creatives getting bored and they... Okay, fine. We like Hunico from what we saw when he's not as big a botcher as Mystico, so let's keep them both here, and this is the way to keep him here?
I have no idea. This sounds like one of those stories you'd hear Jim Cornette telling about the backstage area where they're sitting around at Vince's place with the booking books out going, here's an idea, here's another one, here's another one, here's another one, and Vince has just gone, huh? What? Yeah, we'll go with that one.
Okay, Spug, do you want to see a Sin Cara feud?
Only if you demask Hunico.
Well, maybe that's the end game.
Here's the thing. At the time that they brought Hunico in to be Sin Cara was kind of a hot commodity, right? He hit his peak already and then died off. Like, the character just died off. Cause he doesn't have a manager. He doesn't have a notable feud. He doesn't have anyone to speak for him. He himself hasn't spoken. Well, he started to, but at the time, he himself didn't speak. So there was nothing to attach themselves to the character. So you couldn't, the fans couldn't identify with him. He was a spot monkey. The only way that this feud works, whether you do it now or you do it 6 months from now, is if, one, you demask Hunico and you let him be Hunico against Sin Cara, and you work in Sin Cara's suspension somehow, that it was Hunico that got Sin Cara suspended.
Have you been watching Spanish soap operas or something, man? Wow. That's really involved, especially for WWE creative.
It's not involved, it's just smart.
Right, but this is WWE creative we're involved with here, so we'll pass that along. Hopefully it works. This is the pay-per-view as it stands. I don't know if something's going to get dropped on us tonight out of the TV tapings. But as we said, double main event, world champion Randy Orton takes on what is he calling it? Hall of Pain? Is that what he's calling it? The Hall of Pain?
Yeah,
he can't call it House of Pain, because I know a certain hip-hop group would get really ticked off that, and he can't call it the Haas of Pain, because then Charlie Haas will come and get him and really make Mark Henry scream. You've got WWE champion Alberto Del Rio taking on John Cena. Now we got a fatal four-way for the U.S. Championship. Dolph Ziggler versus Jack Swagger versus Alex Riley versus John Morrison. Damn, we're not going to get Ziggler versus Swagger with Vicky on a pole like we asked for. Cesaro and Ari, as we run this card here, your thoughts on this little thing going with Ziggler, Swagger, and Vicky? Is this good for both characters, or does this hurt either one of them?
I think it's good from the I miss the whole manager thing. I think it's fun to watch. I don't think it hurts Swagger, because he's another one who should have had more going on than he did.
Just sort of dropped out for a while, and I was going, where the heck is he?
I don't know what it does for Ziggler, but, I mean, Ziggler's talented enough. I mean, it won't hurt him anyway. So it at the very least doesn't hurt, and I can see it helping Swagger. So
I mean, and they'll, you know, whenever they wind up actually fighting, they'll put on a good show. So
yeah, it's weird, because we're all big wrestling fans on their show, so it was kind of weird the last couple weeks to hear Ross and Cole and Lawler bringing up the legends like Captain Lou Albano and Bobby Heenan and Freddie Blassie and Luscious Johnny Valiant and others of Mr. Fuji that had numerous clientele. So it was just like, okay, you're doing this right here, Maze, because you're making the fans go, WWE.com, who the hell are these people?
Right.
God forbid that they actually did their own research, you know, go to online World of Wrestling.
Absolutely. Come to us. They go anywhere and look it up. Eventually you're going to see it on WWE Network, which hopefully everybody, one of us, will get to see and get on a decent cable package. Also on this show, I don't see one yet. Do we have an opponent for Cody on this pay-per-view yet, Sprock? Have you seen anything in the spoilers? Oh, it is going to be Teddy. All right. So Cody Rhodes will take on one of my daughter's favorites, Ted DiBiase Jr. We do have the no-holds-barred situation between CM Punk and Triple H. We heard Spug's thoughts on this one, Mace. Is this the match of the night for the fans to go, this is either going to be really great, or this is Triple H's ego run amok and Punk's going to get 3 seconds of offense?
This will be the main event for the fans, because frankly we can see the way most of the other ones are going to go. I'm just hoping that Triple H will put Punk over, because if he doesn't, I'm going to get really pissed off, because that just starts to bury everything that they've done for the last couple of months. This has potential to pretty much be the breakaway main event, and it's not even really a title match. Night of Champions and your best match on the card is non-title.
Smart
booking there, guys.
The other championships on the line, as Spug brought up, Air Boom will take on The Miz and R-Truth, which I'm hoping is going to be a very good encounter. And,
absolutely,
of course,
truthful.
Yes. And,
conspiracy of awesome.
And other ha-has as they come along. Their promos are getting more and more.
Ninja, please.
Absolutely.
I had to rewind that 4 times to make sure that's what he said.
Dude, that was a great line. A great line.
Ninja, please. What did you say? I said ninja. What the? Please.
The final match on this show is Triple Talk Wrestling Radio host Jackie Feisley's favorite match. And that would be Divas Champion Kelly Kelly going against Beth Phoenix one more time. To Sarah and Ari, audience reaction to Kelly seems to be really great, as she seems to be getting a set of brass ones, so to speak. Do we see this possibly being worked to Beth and Natty eventually respecting her and maybe bringing her into this faction that they've got going, or can we finally kill Kelly Kelly at Night of Champions?
I mean, I don't know. She definitely got a pretty amazing reaction.
We were surprised. I mean, we were seeing signs there, weren't we? You know, a surprising number.
I mean,
or at least surprising size.
And yet at the same time, I can't help but feel, again, if, you know, if they're really trying to push her and put her in a position that that Natty and Beth would like her or respect her, to give her a, you know, 30-second match that she wins by distraction, like, I don't necessarily know if that's conveying what they're trying to convey with what you're saying.
Against Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, so.
I mean, no, it was surprising. It was like everyone there, you know, suddenly got a memo, you know, hey, we're taking Kelly seriously now, and I missed it.
Featuring the worst bulldog of all time.
Yeah, that was,
come on.
It was interesting.
You know Kelly Kelly versus Vicky Guerrero was a 5-star mat classic. We all know it.
You know, the funny thing is a couple weeks ago, Jackie Feist made some comment about Kelly Kelly and on Twitter. So I responded by saying, you know, the amount of hate that you have for this girl is really rather pathetic. And so she defriended me on Facebook, she defollowed me on Twitter, and she isn't my friend on Skype anymore. And it's, oh no, whatever shall I do? I don't care if she's listening, and I really don't care. And this is, she's a smart girl. Smart girl. But for fuck's sakes, sorry.
It's okay.
The amount of envy, jealousy, and hatred that she has for Kelly Kelly. Granted, Kelly Kelly's not Lou Thesz or Killer Kowalski or Dusty Rhodes or Ric Flair or Mae Young or Moolah. She's not any of those. Or Penny Banner. But I tell you what, Kelly Kelly has gone from absolutely atrocious woman who cannot figure out how to take her own bra off.
No.
To not a bad worker.
And she's getting a crowd pop, which...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think she deserves a little bit of credit. A little bit of credit. And so for all the trolls who hate her, Jackie Feist included, F off.
Yeah, let me transition. You brought up social networking and everything. The WWE has been really big on letting their talent do this stuff. And if you listen to Raw or SmackDown, Cole will tell you, follow us at WWE and do hashtags and peace signs and all this kind of crap. So Jersey Girl brought this up and asked me about it, so I want to bring it around everybody here. If the name Rosa Mendez doesn't mean anything to you, don't worry. She hasn't been on WWE TV in a while. But she, took to Twitter this weekend and did not have some kind words towards some of the other WWE divas. Namely Miss AJ and Caitlyn. She says, quote, if I'm making people upset, I really don't care. I'm sick of seeing the divas division ruined by these rookies. Smart, sexy, powerful. Then she came along and said, stay in FCW and stop shopping at Target, chica. Then she comes along with this gem of greatness. One rookie looks 12 with a crater face. One looks like she is 40. And the other one looks like she needs to go on Jenny Craig. She says in response to someone, why are you saying this? She said, something happened. If you knew, you would understand. Don't stop loving me. Rosa Mendez does not go on a rant for no reason. So I, of course, said on the OWW Genesis board, part of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, Rosa who? When you make TV again, sweetheart, you can talk. Is this an angle being worked through social networking, Sarah and Ari? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but... What do you guys think of this stuff?
On my end, I mean, I don't know. On the one hand, there has been a lot of really, like, nutty tweeting and social messaging and networking stuff going on in wrestling lately. On the other hand, for just that reason, it's kind of hard to tell what's a work and what's a shoot. And
I was going to say, I mean, off the top of my head, I would think not. I mean, you know, like you said, you know, where has she been? You know, when have they paid her any attention? But I suppose online.
WWE tends to undervalue the online community, and if there's something they really want to play up, they'd at the very least back that up with some mentioning on TV and stuff like that. They wouldn't assume that just because something popped up on Twitter, it would, like, hit the mainstream audience they're trying to grab to.
On the other hand, they could be saying, hey, you've got a free hand, you know, see if you can do anything, and if not, well, we never touched it. So, maybe.
To Maester Spug, should we give a crap about this girl? I mean, she's not on TV at all. Is this bitterness, maybe, from, you know, I'm not getting used, so I'm going to take it to Twitter?
Quite possibly it could be that. But then again, I just had to look up who she was just to remember who the hell she was.
I think she was with Zack Ryder at one point. She was his girl on TV.
Well, by the looks of her, she looks like she's got a face that was drawn with an Etch-a-Sketch, so she should shut the fuck up about how anybody looks.
I think Jump Rope was involved, too, at some point. So, yeah, that's how much we know about Rosa Mendez. With you guys having been on vacation recently, any action over on in this very ring? Anything coming up we need to talk about?
I mean, nothing out of the ordinary. We've posted since we've been back. Thursday or Friday is usually when we put our podcasts up. So
we'll probably be talking in a little more detail about our time at Raw
and doing predictions and doing predictions for the pay-per-view.
Of course.
Give the address. Give everybody the address because we want everybody to check you guys out.
Why, thank you. Absolutely. In this very ring, .blogspot.com.
All right. So thank you for stopping by. I hope you feel better.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, guys. It's been fun.
All right. We're not going to take a time out here, but we're going to transition. We're going to get Spug's favorite person on the show on. And no, it's not my wife. The one and only Jamal, Mr. Kevin Scott, has braved horrible weather the last couple weeks. And hopefully his phone is working. Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on?
All right. Kevin Scott is joining us here.
What's up, guys?
So how was the hurricane? Have fun?
Oh, man, I'm exhausted.
Was the hurricane as much fun as the pay-per-view you watched Sunday?
I gotta admit it was lackluster. I'm talking about the pay-per-view. Hurricane and the earthquake and everything else, we had mudslides. Pretty eventful last couple of weeks.
Yeah, before we get to the actual pay-per-view, unfortunately my DVR once again did not like Impact Wrestling, so I missed all of Jeff Hardy's little promo to the fans at the end of this event. But
did you see Mr. Anderson's at the start of the event?
Yes.
Okay, same thing. You think I'm bullshitting? Rock can tell you he's even got the fucking transcripts from the chat we do when we watch Impact, where I say, isn't this just the same promo just with Jeff Hardy in the ring instead of Anderson? That's how bad it was.
I'm going to mute myself for a second so I can laugh hysterically.
I've heard about recycling promos, but recycling them on the same show? My God, they're blowing ideas.
Yeah. What did you, since neither one of you were here last week, what did you think of the look being that they were in Huntsville? Did you like it? And would you like to see more of it, the TV out of Orlando?
Well, anytime they get out of Orlando, it's a good thing. So I got to give them credit for that. Yeah, we all know the production value always looks a little bit off when they're in their little Impact Zone. But at least the crowd can make or break the show. I think for the most part, at least, it kind of made it. But there were little things here and there that I like to see different.
They actually looked like a wrestling show instead of a studio production.
Yeah. It was definitely interesting. And then they went right back to it this past Sunday. So let me run the event and what went down. Jesse Sorensen is your new number one contender to the X Division Championship, defeating the notorious KID Kid Cash. And it was nice of them to actually remember, hey, former X Division champion. Granted, it happened in Nashville, the place they don't like to talk about. Bully Ray. This pissed me off because I'm a fan of Cowboy James Storm, and I'm like, all right, Beer Money. I want to see Beer Money in the finals. This will be awesome. And instead, Bully Ray wins over James Storm via DQ thanks to, well, a party foul in certain cultures. And I chided James for that on Twitter, and he came back at me with a good joke, so I appreciate that. He's at the TV tape tomorrow. So if you live in Orlando, go over to the Impact Zone, Universal Studios, and enjoy that. So Bully Ray only gets 3 points, which was fun because everybody kept saying, okay, they kept pushing this. So if they get a submission, it's 10 points. And Rock and I are typing going, submission, 10 points. Remember that. We had some title changes at this event. Winter, stay with me now. Mickie James, in winner's first title defense, defeats winner. So Mickie James, and I believe was her first title defense, drops the belt right back to winner. Brilliant creative
move.
I mean, Russo was infamous for this in WCW, hot-shotting the belts around, but Jesus. I mean, I know we've talked about it before here, and we know the props and everything, but good God, that's like enough already.
You, been a world champ now. Was that part of the whole thing?
I think I've been a champ 5 times, and I love every second of it. I may be the TV champion, not even realize it, because Eric Young, we're on radio, so we're safe. Eric won't come after us unless he starts realizing we're internet and we've got website stuff that features TV, and maybe he'll come get us. Mexican America defeats the Pope, D'Angelo, De Niro, and Devon, a match that, awkward match, very awkward. Speaking of awkward, Matt Morgan defeats Samoa Joe. We had Bobby Roode, remember I mentioned submission, that Bobby Roode and Gunnar were tied at 42. So one of them needed a submission to win, so of course, Bobby Roode wins via submission, and we're like, yes, cool. We're going to see them on Impact Thursday night with Hogan and with Flair and Sting and Hulk. Whoa, wait a minute. Out comes Eazy-E, who says, no, 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 you're going to have to go one more time tonight. And that, of course, moved on there. You have a brand new World X Division champion, and that would be a double Austin Aries taking out Brian Kendrick. And I wanted to bring this up when we talked about these guys. We talked about lackluster promos. I felt the promo they did this past Thursday night was excellent and was very standout and got both characters over. And I hope this isn't the only time we're going to see two go at it. I don't know if anybody of you feel about that.
But I agree. It was well done. It's finally, you see a little bit, I can't say you finally see a little bit more personality, but you see what you need to see in terms of that personality coming across. It was definitely stepping for both guys.
As mentioned, the Bound for Glory series final took place, and yes, we have a new number one contender. And no, it's not someone who worked for WWE or WCW. That's right. Bobby Roode of Fortune is your new number one contender. And he will be taking on Kurt Angle at Bound for Glory on October 16th. Because Kurt Angle defeated Sting and Mr. Anderson after Hulk Hogan blind Sting. Thank you, Sir Rockin', for booking this match months in advance, because now it looks like a Bound for Glory. We're going to sit through Hogan versus Sting, kids.
You're welcome, Alan. You're welcome.
You suck.
We have a call, gentlemen.
Yeah, I believe this may be your call, if you want to go ahead and say hi.
My call? I believe this is the one and only Shasta from MCW. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Oh, it's all right.
How was base brawl? We heard Spug talk about it a little bit, but in your mind, how did the base brawl event go for you guys?
It went really well. Second year in a row. The autograph lines, I think it lasted for like 3.5 hours or something. So people came out in groves to see Foley and Hart and Al Snow. But, yeah, it was a great event. Seemed like the attendance was maybe up a little bit from last year. And We're already signed on to do next year as well. So far, so good with the annual baseball brawl show.
Hooray! I got to tell Foley how he ruined my childhood in 96.
Say what? Seriously?
The after party was at Fuddruckers, which was the stadium for baseball was behind the mall in Niles. And then the Fuddruckers was at the front, and the after party was at the Fuddruckers. And we're all over there, and Foley's talking to a bunch of the guys as he's leaving, and I shook his hand and said, you know, thanks for everything you've done for everybody. And I said, you know, in 96, my dad took me to my first pay-per-view, which was SummerSlam. And I said, you ruined my childhood that year. And he laughed, and he said, I did my job. What did I do? And I told him, you know, I said, I remember watching the Boiler Room Brawl and the, you know, all the way out to the ring. And then you and Paul put the boots to Undertaker. And then, you know, I remember crying in the stands as they carried the Druids carried the Undertaker out. And my dad was laughing. He was hysterically, and I didn't understand why until the next night on Raw. When I saw Undertaker sit up, and then it all clicked. But he laughed. He thought it was funny. He did. He thought it was hilarious.
Good story.
Well, you know. Well, thanks.
Hey, here's a better story that you probably didn't even realize. One of the first things you said is Foley was getting ready to leave. He said he was talking to you guys, and you hit a great point here. He'll be able to check some of this out and some of his comedy stuff he's getting ready to start doing. But you said that you shook his hand, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's awesome because I picked Foley up from the airport, and I didn't know this about him, and I've worked with him several times. Mick Foley is a huge germaphobe. Absolutely cannot stand shaking hands. Has nothing to do with being a prick or anything like that. Just a huge germaphobe, one of the worst. And it was really funny because if you notice, when he was doing the autographs, he made sure he wore Socko. And he did that gimmick so that when he came by and fans were there, and like I said, it has nothing to do with, you know, particular people or thinking that he's better than anybody. He's just a germaphobe. So he made sure that he had Socko on while he shook people's hands. And so many people you can imagine go up to the guy, want to shake his hands. And if you'll ever notice him around a big crowd, he'll say, oh, this is how we do it in the business, and he'll do his knuckles, and he'll want to give him the knuckle deal so that he doesn't have to shake hands because he's a huge germaphobe. So when you said that you shook his hand first thing, I kind of laughed inside because he was telling me some great handshaking stories and how he does whatever the hell he can to avoid doing so.
He shook my hand.
Oh yeah, yeah, he'll shake your hand. Yeah, he said that, like I said, he was telling me some of his comedy bit because, Foley's doing stand up now also. And I'm actually going to be promoting some of his stand up coming up. And, he's got a whole bit on, the different steps to avoid handshaking. So it was kind of funny that, yeah, it was one of the first things you mentioned, when you said you met him. But, he's a good guy. Like I said, he's not a prick. You know, some people are just big germaphobes, and, something I didn't know about him. And, you know, you think about, you know, all the crazy shit he's done and blood and the hardcore matches and things like that.
But he won't shake hands.
Yeah, you would think he would be the last person on earth to be worried about being a germaphobe. But, yeah, he's got a handshaking thing for sure.
Well, and before we talk about the event, I want to ask you something. Since you are his trainer, how's Spug doing?
He's not doing too shabby. He actually, I would say, is definitely above average. I've had so many kids over the years come in, and, from what I've saw so far, you'll be talking to him about, some of his matches, before too long.
Cool.
I appreciate that.
That's why I brought it up.
I don't know if that's lip service or serious, but I appreciate that. That kind of gives me a little boost of confidence.
Well, we have faith in your abilities.
Yeah, yeah. Don't let your head swell up when you're walking through the door tonight. But you're doing all right. You're doing okay.
No, sir. I got all 5 of your tickets sold, by the way.
There you go. That's good. Well, you got all Tommy Dreamer's tickets sold. There you go.
But speaking of Tommy Dreamer, I'm excited about this. I really am.
Yeah, I think he fits the MCW feel and bill a little bit. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have called you guys so late, but I was waiting on him to get back to me. He's a late nighter, so am I, and I was waiting on him to get back to me to see if I couldn't get him on the phone with you guys. But I don't know if you guys will be on again this week, right?
No, we're just a Tuesday night only show.
We're on Tuesdays, but we will be on tomorrow night as well. If he wants to come on tomorrow night.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was saying. I'll definitely get a little bit more time. I think I can probably, I'm not going to make 100% promises and speak for him, but I'll do my best to get Dreamer on your show tomorrow night.
Awesome. I would appreciate it. But this Saturday, September to Remember, at the Wrestleplex, 1200 East State Street in Alliance, Ohio.
That's correct.
And beforehand, because there are quite a number of workers who do listen to this show, if they're in the Ohio area, it's $25?
Yeah, Dreamer's going to be doing a seminar, which we've got workers, students, everybody. Dreamer still has a lot of contacts, and we're not just using that as a ploy. I mean, he really still does have a lot of – he was offered a writing job. He decided to leave WWE. He wasn't fired. I mean, he made that decision on his own, but he still has a lot of influence and contacts in WWE. And, he's out looking at young talent every day, so he's going to do a seminar. And that's something I always try to do for my kids at the school. And I say kids regardless of their age. That's what they all are to me. But, a couple of times a year when we do shows, I try to make it a double benefit. One for our fans to get to see some, TV talent come into the area. And my students, I think it pays off for them to get an opportunity to work a seminar. But, Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m., we're going to have a seminar with Tommy Dreamer at the Wrestleplex. And, and workers that are coming out, we get tons of emails and workers that are wanting to work with our show. And, I'll be honest with you, this is the best way to get with us is to come in, do one of the seminars, let us meet you, let us see what you're about, maybe drop us off a tape, a disc, and, give us some information about you. And, we've got a really solid roster now, but we're always open-minded to expanding it. And, we've got emails, we get tons of those, but a guy to show up, go to a seminar, show that he's trying to improve on his craft, that really holds a lot to us. And, 3 to 5 this Saturday, I don't think anyone could say that Dreamer won't give a great seminar. And, he's a great teacher. And like I said, he has contacts as well. And it's other than just, it's not always just about making the WWE, I mean, this guy's been, he goes to Japan and places like that as well. So, he's going to be there that night looking at some guys and, of course, holding a seminar. And I don't think that you ever stop learning in this business. So these workers that send us tons of emails want to know what it takes to get on our show. Well, this is a good first step. And anybody that's interested in the seminar, the email's pretty easy, if you don't mind me giving a plug for it. It's pretty easy. It's wrestling bookings with an S. That's pretty easy, at live.com. Wrestling bookings. So the name says itself. Wrestling bookings at live.com, or contact us at mcwpro.com. That has the email link as well. And, shoot us an email. Let us know if you want to attend. $25. And, at the same time, you also get a ticket for the show that night to hang out and watch the show afterwards. So a seminar and a ticket to a good event for $25. Don't know that you can beat that anywhere.
Question. Do I need to bring workout attire on Saturday or street clothes?
I mean, you definitely want to. Every guy does their seminar a little bit differently. I can't really speak for him per se. I know Nigel, when we had Nigel there, or Desmond Wolf, whatever you want to go by, but whatever you want to call him, but, I know that he did a lot of in-ring stuff. I know Al Snow, when he did our seminar, he did a lot more psychology, a lot more Q&A. You know, I'm not sure exactly how Dreamer does his. I think most of the time they'll leave it up to the guys, and they'll offer guys to get into the ring. So, you know, I'd bring your bag with you, be ready to work the show that night, you know, doing the security and things that I have all my students pay their dues that way, but also be ready to do some light workout as well.
I have one of the shirts, the security shirts in my truck.
Oh boy, you're in deep shit.
I had it from Base Brawl. I tried to give it back to you at Fuddruckers.
You didn't try to give it back to me, brother. I don't take shirts up. That ain't my job.
Ooh.
See, now he's done opened the door. Now you're hearing him. See, he went from doing so great in school to now he's in the doghouse. security shirts get left there, but we'll discuss that later. Maybe we should get some audio of Andrew running extra laps at next practice. You guys can play on air.
Ooh.
That parking lot.
Squats. Lots and lots of squats.
Oh, no more. No
the
more.
Infamous Hindu.
Yeah, there you go, most definitely. But
ask Christian Vaughn about Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sure he worked you guys pretty heavily. I told him to save a little bit of you for me this Sunday. Saturday's our big event. We ran September to Remember for many years at the Canton Civic Center. With just the wrestling business in general, we've downsized it a little bit. We do it at our home arena, but we've got a great, great show. I know most everybody would say that about their show, but I mean, we really, really do. The show is lined up to be really solid, and of course, any hardcore fans of Tommy Dreamer or CZW, one of our own, Brain Damage will be returning to MCW Saturday night. And for anybody who has never saw Brain Damage live, that is definitely a spectacle to see, as well as we have a ladder match for the MCW tag title. So, every belt's on the line that night, as a matter of fact. The Elite title's on the line, and the heavyweight title's on the line as well. So all three belts are up for grab. This is kind of like our, SummerSlam to a WrestleMania type deal. Our anniversary show's our big, big one, but this one doesn't fall too far behind. And, I don't even know, guys, if there's any left. I know that we had sold over half of them out in just a few hours when we dropped the VIP tickets, but, there's a possibility there may still be some VIP tickets available for this show as well. And they're $15. Kid Zone is located just a few doors down from our arena. They have those. If you grab one of those, you get a guaranteed front row seat. You get in at 6 o'clock for a private meet and greet with Dreamer from 6 to 7 before we open the regular doors. And there's only like 60 of these. So it's not like there's 150 people there. There's only going to be like 60 people that get these. And there may be some sporadic ones or two tickets left here and there. So if anybody's interested, they may be able to still pick them up the day of the show. I don't know where they sit right now.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. By the way, September to Remember. That's the event that Jarrett got jealous of you and Shane Sensation on, correct?
Yeah, it wasn't just me and Shane. It was actually me and Brain Damage versus Shane and Cole. Jeff Jarrett, TNA had just got kicking off at the time, and they actually were still recognizing the NWA World Championship. And Jeff Jarrett was the NWA World Champion, and of course we, by respectfully, were putting him in the main event that night. For holding such a prestigious title, and he was defending it there that night at the Canton Memorial Civic Center. And we had a TLC match before his. And Jeff Jarrett, we walked to the back, and Jeff Jarrett basically looked at us and said, you know, I'd have to shoot this guy in the fucking head with a shotgun to get a pop now. So, we stole the show. That's the show that put MCW on the map. I Shasta drove Shane Sensation off a ladder out of the ring through two tables. We were probably about 15 foot in the air, and, we had about 1,600, 1,700 people on their feet going crazy. So, you know, we left it on the line that night. That was probably the show that set this company on the map, and that's been probably over 10 years ago, and we've tried to stay pretty strong ever since then.
Well, I know I've only been with you for about 2 months, and I think you've done a pretty good job at it, so.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it, and, you know, one of these days maybe you can jump off a ladder and half kill yourself. That's what you get to look forward to.
I'm
only half.
Thanks, Mace. I appreciate it. By the way, this is my buddy Mace. He is an Australian bloke, trained and works in Australia. And
awesome, awesome. How's the indie world out in Australia?
It's very clicky, very backstabby, very not much noticed by the public.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. It sounds just like the United States.
I'm glad things are world renowned.
Yeah, it is world renowned for sure, yeah. Well, the business is crazy, you know. I mean, it takes an idiot to do it, and evidently Andrew's an idiot, so.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
I'm quite sure. I'm actually planning to come to the U.S. in a couple of years' time to hang with Andrew, so he might drag me down to a training session.
Oh, absolutely, man. If you come down, we'll make sure we get you some work for sure.
Awesome.
Most definitely. Right. So, yeah, you just got a booking on the air, and guys, I appreciate what you guys do for to help spread the word for the business. Our doors are always open to you as well, and like I said, Andrew, if you'll give me a reminder midday tomorrow or so, shoot me a text or something. I'll see if I can't get you guys on the phone with Dreamer. I don't think it'll be a problem. He's probably going to text me back as soon as your show's over. The way it goes. But I feel pretty confident that I can get him on for a little while, and you guys, you know, you can figure out what all things you want to ask him. He's been asked probably a million times, but it'll, you know, maybe you guys can plug it beforehand and get a few more listeners, and you know, we appreciate you plugging our shows for sure as well. So, yeah, anybody who wants to do the seminar with Dreamer, Saturday, WrestlePlex, contact us, email us, whatever. Contact the show. I'm sure they can get you in touch with us as well. And, you know, I think that you'll find out that it'll be well worth it.
Indeed. All right. Yeah, I'll hit you up. We have the wonderful Jessica Havoc tomorrow night at 8, so.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, she actually is, got a little bit of surprise for September to remember as well. She'll be involved in that event also.
All right. But
I'm not going to get too in depth on what's going to go on there, but I'm sure she may fill you in a little bit more since she's going to be on tomorrow night.
All right. Cool. Thanks for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate you having me, guys. I appreciate it, guys.
Have a good night, man.
All right,
there
thanks,
you
man.
Have it. Shasta of MCW, do as you said. Definitely follow all the information. It'll be in our recap that gets put out tomorrow with this show. I want to ask Kevin this. You doing any comedy stuff anytime soon, or have you put that aside now that you have a very special lady friend in your life?
She's going to love to hear that. Right now, comedy's put on hold. It was a crazy year trying to get back to it, and I got a little bit lazy. But I did do the play, so that took me away from that a little bit. But I'm hoping by the time Thanksgiving Christmas comes around, I'll have a couple of shows lined up.
By the way, Kevin, I just have to ask. The other morning, did you go with the waffles or not?
Do we want to know what the hell's going on here, or is this a this a Twitter thing?
No.
I know you're talking about. No.
I'm talking to Kevin on Facebook, and he tells me his morning activities. He lists off what he does. Then he says, walk on the beach, and then he says, I can't decide if I'm going to go do this again or have waffles. That was the conversation.
I had waffles afterwards. So, yeah, TNA, huh?
Let's get back.
Yeah, before we leave TNA Wrestling, this Thursday night, yeah, we read the spoilers. We will be treated, if you want to call it that, to Ric Flair versus Sting. Instead of it being on a pay-per-view, it's going to be on free television. Is this a little stupid? I mean, they could have gotten a couple people to buy the pay-per-view to see these two, but heaven forbid.
Let's be as horrible as it sounds, or it should have sounded to anyone who is sane. Yes, Sting versus Ric Flair is going to get a couple of pay-per-view buys. That's just common sense.
Does Jeff Hardy's 10-day jail sentence get any pay-per-view buys?
I gotta give him credit. I'm really surprised that he only got 10 days, and I'm actually surprised the entire case is over. But I give the justice and love a hands up for that one. That's pretty good.
Wait. Yeah. We looked at North Carolina law. The things that he was charged with carried a minimum of 3 to 8 months.
For each one.
Yeah, trafficking opium kind of looked down upon. 10 days? Wow. What can you do?
In the American legal system, grandkids.
He must know how to suck a really good dick to only.
Yay. Damn, man, I know we're after 11 o'clock, but there's still kids that are going to listen to this, so let's save that for later on.
We said it on WTR the other night. I have no idea how he is not fired.
Kurt Angle?
No, Jeff.
Oh, I'm saying that you sent at this point.
Yeah, all three are still, two of the three are here. Maybe because he admitted he had a problem and he's taking care of it, unlike his brother. Who's doing his own personal therapy through YouTube.
Maybe some of us should go to a certain hot seat and have a talk to a certain Mr. Bischoff. Just to ask him flat out why.
I would like to. You know, the last couple of times I've been on that program, I apparently had an attitude.
Gotcha. Oh, what is this?
He has an attitude? No, not at all. He's such a nice guy.
But the thing is, that's the next time the hot seat. But the thing is, and you can ask Rock, I was very polite and very well-mannered. That's the thing, is I very calm, even tone. And it was that I have no idea how I had an attitude.
Yeah, since we're in the profanity mode, we're going to go ahead and use some, because apparently the former Phil Shatter, current Gunner of TNA Wrestling, decided to use some to take it out on us people. That's right, he decided to lash out at the Dirt Sheets and Fat Computer Marks via his Twitter, which I don't know his thing, because I don't think I follow him, following the No Surrender pay-per-view. Now, this is his words, not mine. Amazing job from all Impact talent tonight. No Surrender was a success. Suck it, Dirt Sheets and Fat Computer Marks at home. Goes on to say, so apparently the message boards are calling me an egomaniac. Ah, you guys are silly. Fat Computer Marks. Oops, I did it again. Next thing is, good thing the so-called message boards don't really mean crap to me. My true fans are the ones who know we all bust our tails to entertain you all. And he ends it by saying, we need to get Fat Computer Marks trending.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does he not realize that the only people tuning into TNA these days are those Fat Computer Marks?
Jersey is saying she thinks his Twitter is TNA Gunner. But yeah, I think we're the only four maybe that are, well, at least three of us are regularly watching. Spug maybe not will watch, depending on if he remembers to DVR the show. But Russo does this from time to time. Bischoff does it from time to time. So why smack us around when, as you just said, you know, I've been following your product for almost 10 years, and I've lived through enough of the crap that you've put out there and some of the great stuff. And sorry if last time I checked, Gunner, I'm allowed to voice my damn opinion. And even though I haven't taken a bump in my entire life, doesn't mean I'm an idiot. So if you have friends that listen to our show, hopefully they'll pass us along and love for you to call in. TNA will let you do it because we'd love to talk to you about all this. We've had a wonderful show this evening, and I want to thank the Digans for calling in. I want to thank Kevin for calling in. Thanks to Shasta for calling in. That was a nice happy accident there. Want to let everybody know, Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern is OTL. You may or may not get Tommy Dreamer tomorrow night. That's pretty cool. That
well,
is
I'm
the
pretty
show
sure
that's...
we're gonna end up with Tommy Dreamer tomorrow night.
That'll be pretty cool. Follow, the Mace thing on Twitter, and yours is Kilted.
At Kilted Wise Man.
Okay.
I'm sure it'll change.
Isn't it Kilted _ Wise Man?
Kilted _ Wise Man.
Yeah, so
I'm sure
follow
it'll
the two of them. And Omega, is Omega TJ Omega, or does he not have Twitter?
No, he has the Twitter. He has the Twitter and the Facebook.
Ooh. He has all the amazing tools. So follow those three individuals. They'll clue you in to what may or may not be going down. Will Razor Rick be back this Thursday night? Or is this going to be a weekly thing or
it's
a monthly
not,
thing?
It's a special podcast. It's in the process of being tweaked. And you'll hear more updates, but Superstar U will be back on the Wild Talk Radio Network in the near future.
Excellent. Is there, this past Saturday was Strike Force, so there's no tap outs to knockouts. It's the 24th that is the next UFC event, right?
I believe so.
Sounds
and
right.
that involves your baby eating friend?
Yes, it involves the baby eater. I have my special fork and knife ready for that fight.
Who's he taking on? Who's Rampage taking on that night?
You gotta put me on the spot like that, dude.
Well, maybe Mace knows. Mace may have... Barack may know. Kevin may know. I don't know. Is it the? Is it?
Mace has no idea. But whoever it is, like, grandma's going to get punched out before the fight.
I thought because I saw a commercial for it real fast during Fox football on Sunday, and I thought it was is Rashad Evans a fighter?
I just punched that guy's grandma. It's John Bones Jones.
Okay.
Versus Rampage.
So go to UFC.com, check that out. And as always, midnight-ish on Wild Talk Radio. It is the one and only CB Radio with the Godfather himself, Rob Parks, Subway.
Hold on. It's Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks.
Oh, he's Godfather of Extreme. I apologize.
Yeah,
he'll come and get me.
You gotta get the name correct, because, you know, we educate you on CB Radio. We talked about Christopher Columbus, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, and the 13 colonies on Saturday. We did that. We played educational songs. Seriously, check it out. Check out the
and apparently we're looking for the worst jokes ever.
And so...
And Kevin will appreciate this.
Oh,
Mace
God.
Is just subtitled the fight, Kevin. John Bones Jones versus Quentin Rampage Jackson, otherwise known as Black on Black Crime.
That works.
Yeah, that does really work. And this Saturday, Alan, we're going to teach you how to talk like a pirate.
Have you guys been watching the Pirates of the Caribbean movies again?
No, it's next week sometime is Talk Like a Pirate Day, since we're not off during the that day.
And if you want to hear a great example of how to talk like a pirate, just listen to the end of WTR from
exactly.
This week.
We're doing Talk Like a Pirate Night this Saturday, midnight-ish, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right, and this Sunday, due to Night of Champions, if you listen to Wrestle Talk Radio, it is 11 o'clock Eastern. Don't tune in at 10. You'll hear nothing on the air. Great debate matches for this week. Do we know them by chance, Rock?
Give me 30 seconds to pull up the format sheet I wrote. So,
excellent. Apparently TNA pay-per-view recap ended up with Dr. Seuss somehow, boys. So definitely go to wildtalkradio.com and check that out. We have
the
a link
train
on the
was definitely derailed.
Yes. Yep, we have a link on the Online World of Wrestling Radio Facebook page if you want to listen to this past Sunday's event.
And this week's great debate is Triple H versus The Rock against Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant in the first feud battle. Jake the Snake Roberts and Rick the Mala Martel go up against Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat. The Great Debate, greatest feuds of all the times.
Of all the times.
And
by
as,
the way,
yes.
Yarg, matey. You need be getting to Treasure Cove and Skull Rock.
Oh, no, we're not starting this again.
R and other letters of the alphabet.
No, under the T's.
Alright, let me pimp, and then you guys can talk like pirates and channel Keith Richards all you want. Next Tuesday night, we already mentioned Jessica Havoc. We're going to be doing a pre-taped interview with her due to her day-to-day life not allowing her to appear live on our show. So we're going to pre-tape something with her tomorrow, and that'll appear on next Tuesday's show. And live on the show, whether it'll be in Black Machismo mode or not, Jay Lethal will be back here to talk about his debut on ROH TV through Sinclair Media. On the 26th, we do talk NEW Northeast Wrestling with the heavyweight champion Matt Taven, who will be taking on the innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer. Also, we'll talk to Mickie James's opponent, the woman who was part of the longest women's match in wrestling history that went 73 minutes. She took Mercedes Martinez to the limit. She may take us to the limit. One half of the Boston Shore and the WSU Tag Team Champions, Lexus, will be here. And Brian Shields will be here on the 4th to talk about a new gaming endeavor, which unfortunately is slipping my mind exactly what he is involved in. I know he was a part of the WWE 12 game.
He works for Game On Games.
That's who it is.
You can follow them on, it's Game On_ Games on Twitter to follow Brian Shields for that.
Yeah, and you can also follow him on Mighty Pen, one word, _ sword. Don't forget, Kevin, though his Twitter account is not involved in Name Jamal at all, though I'm sure Spug would like it that way.
Think about it.
Yeah, you can change it to my name is Jamal or something. That'll work. You could have a second one just for our show, but you can follow him at Kevin_K_Scott. As I mentioned, Eddie Edwards. Yes.
I curse a lot.
You? No way.
I want to throw it out there.
Alright, update on Bash in the Books. Is there going to be one in the near future, or did we put that to bed?
At this point in time, I still have to get off my ass and get my login info. So nothing in the works. I will let you know when it will be coming back, if it comes back.
Excellent. Don't forget, you can follow at the Eddie Edwards. You'll see him this Saturday on pay-per-view, thanks to Carrie Silken. You can follow him at ROH Carrie. So thanks to Spug, to Mace, to Kevin Scott, the Digans, who are in this very ring, .blogspot.com, I believe. Thanks to everyone for joining us this week. Hopefully we do it better next week, and we have a lot of fun. And hope you enjoyed the ROH style music that we used. Was gonna go with Tupac, but found out that doesn't really go well with certain people on this show. So on behalf of everybody, Online World of Wrestling Radio is powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can go to OWWRadio.com to get archives of each and every show. We also archive on iTunes and Click Wrestle. And we'll see you next week. Have a great night.